Perek Pasuk Dalet on page 328. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, page 328. Yisanag al Hashem, V'yiten Lucha Mish'alais Libech. What a great Pasuk to learn on the first day of Chodesh Elul. Of Acha Sho'alti Me'es Hashem. Today is already the second day of Chodesh Elul. Acha Sho'alti Me'es Hashem Eisavakesh. Shit Me'es Hashem Chod Me'chayai. Everyone here in this room is living out their dreams. You see, you're in Kolo, your mama should come over here. There are many things you can be doing this morning. You all chose to come and learn Torah. Unbelievable. Acha Sho'alti Me'es Avakesh. Shit Me'es Hashem Kol Me'chayai. And here it says, "God is in spalo to Hashem, the hisanaga Hashem, may we take delight, tainuk, al Hashem, we yitel lucha." The second request, may Hashem give you. It's interesting that that's a takeoff on the yitel lucha ho Elokim mital hashamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz. That is, these words, you can't ignore the fact that these words are the same words as the yitel, even with the vav. No, it's we were giving you honorable mention. We were learning in the afternoon, in the evening, Rashi, and Unkelus, and we had a chapter break, and we started talking about that topic once again, about all the chapter breaks are apikorsis.
Yeah.
And then we started giving examples of things that the Goyim have taken away, that the Goyim, the Christians especially, have done to in their attempt to desanctify or corrupt Yabes. And we have two examples of numbers. The number 13. The number 13, Yabes, is sacred. It's Kodesh Kodosh.
Oh, yeah.
Sacred. You're 13 years, Bar Mitzvah boy, when he's 13 years old. There are Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidreshes. There are Yud Gimel Midos Rachane. There are 13 times in the Torah that Hashem forged a bris for Bris Milah and for Eretz Yisrael. The number 13 in Yadus is Kodesh Kodosh.
By the Goyim, saw a few more also.
More, a lot, a whole long list. And what have the Goyim done with the number 13? What, is that just an accident that there's no 13 in the elevator? You go to a building, there's no 13th floor. And the number Friday the 13th, is just an accident? It's not an accident. It's deliberate. Don't make no mistake about it. It's because in Klal Yisrael, the number 13 is sacred. Why is the number 13? It's Echad, it's Ahava. This there, it's bigmatria, echad. It's bigmatria, ahava. It's sacred in so many different ways, and they can't live with it. The goyim cannot live with the fact that by Klal Yisrael the number 13 is sacred. Why is it sacred? I don't know. I'm not a makubal. I don't understand why. But obviously, the number 13 is echad. The number 13 is a Havel, the number 13 is a Yud Gimel Midas Farachamim, the Yud Gimel Midas Shantar Nidreshas. It's sacred. The Goyim, it's what makes us the Niflinu Ani V'Amecha. It makes us separate. They can't deal with it. They delegitimize the number 13. I don't know what their philosophy is, but clearly it's what they have done. Another example is the number 666. I never knew this until very recently, until I started going on Telegram. And the Satan, is a number, I never knew this, 666.
What's
Telegram? You know what Telegram is?
No.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. You want to waste the whole day?
No.
Get suckered into nonsense, into conspiracy theories? Telegram is basically, it's a WhatsApp on steroids. Okay, basically it's the same thing as WhatsApp, but much, much more powerful. Much, much more powerful. You wouldn't even know it's any different, but it has a programming language. You can do a lot of, like, people who are in the business world, there's a lot of power in it's just basically another app that you can waste your time. And many, many news outlets, have a similar. They use it as a medium to tell you the news or whatever. So it's much more powerful than WhatsApp. Okay, that was a joke. That was not a joke. That was just a, but there's something by the Goyim. I don't know what it's all about. I don't understand what it's all about. There's something by the Goyim of the number 666. They use it to represent the Koychos of Tumah. Anyone that is fluent in their
That
the Satan.
The devil's number, they call it.
They call it the devil's number. I don't know. I never knew anything about this until very recently.
I know where it comes from. But
yeah, I don't know. What is the number 13? Why by the garden is number 13? Where does that come? What's
13
this?
People around the Last Supper.
Yeah?
I think that's what
okay, that's where it comes from. But 13, but the number 666, we're not over here to go into that. But in Yadus, the number 666 is Kodesh Kodoshim. Why? What is the sixth? And there are a few examples, but I don't know all of them at this moment, but I'll give you this one simple example. It's relevant to this possible learning. Is what is the sixth parasha in the Torah? Parashas Toldos. That's the sixth parasha.
Six is a perfect number, according to the Maharal.
Number
because
six.
You multiply 3 times 2 times 1 equals 3 plus 2 plus 1.
Yeah. The sum is the...
We have mathematicians here. I have to watch out and stay over here. Okay, I the number. What is the sixth parasha? What is the sixth parasha in the Torah? The parashas Toldos.
Yeah.
Which? What is then? Let's now go to the sixth aliyah. And what is the first letter of the sixth aliyah in the sixth parasha of the Torah? Vav. And what does it say? V'yiten l'chohu Elokim. Mital Hashamayim u'mishmanei haaretz. The sixth parasha, the sixth aliyah, begins with the letter Vav. V'yitem l'cha. And these are the brachos which Yitzchak bestowed upon Yaakov.
It's also the dimensions of the universe.
The number six. Okay, but these, but look, let's look at it from the perspective of Esav. Esav never lived down his whole existence that Yaakov Avinu received the brachos from Yitzchak. Yitzchak, a major portion of anti-Semitism, specifically B'nai Esav against Yaakov. We always discuss there are many, many varieties, many different dimensions to anti-Semitism, but there's a special anti-Semitism that comes specifically from the B'nai Esav, not discussing other elements of that. And the question is, why do the B'nai Esav hate us so much? And that's not, obviously, that's an impossible question to answer. There are many, many different elements that come together. But one of the major dimensions of that anti-Semitism is the jealousy and the regret that Esav gave up his b'chayra to Yaakov. When was that moment of truth where the b'chayra was given to Yaakov and not to Esav? The b'chayis Yitzchak, the yiten l'cha ho Elokim mital hashamayim u'mishmanei haaretz. There are 10 blessings. There are 10 blessings that begin with the yiten. And where do those blessings appear? In the sixth parasha, in the sixth aliyah, and it begins with the letter Vav, the Gematria 6. 666. So for Klal Yisrael, this is the Mesorah. This is the Birchas Yitzchak. Is it a surprise to you then that the Goyim, the losers, in their lies and jealousy and insanity, nonsense, oh, they'll now take the number 666 and corrupt it and tell the world, oh, this represents the Satan. Is it a kasha? The same way it's not a kasha why they're taking the number 13, which is sacred, and have corrupted it. And you can't find a number, an elevator that has a number 13 because of their meshagas, because they cannot fargin. They cannot fargin Klal Yisrael that we are the Am HaNivcha. We have the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidreshes, the Niflin Rani the Amcha. We have the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachanim. We have Bris Mila, which Hashem was called Yud Gimel Brisais. We twice a day say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is Begematria 13. They can't forgive.
We also have 613.
613, excellent. And that's also very interesting. What is the number 13? What's the Lechachalim? What is that? 13? Kev, a round number?
Six.
You see, 13. It's 6 and 13. Excellent. You see? Unbelievable. 6 in its fullness. 6 in its fullness. And 13. These are two numbers which are sacred by Klal Yisrael. So they can't live it down. They just added like mom is like a child. Like a child. I can't get what I want. You're losing the game. You're playing Monopoly and you're losing. What do? You take the board, you turn it upside down, you go and you just like a baby. A baby, a child, a kid, when he can't deal with losing, you just mahapich es hakol. They can't live it down. So they take the number 666 and oh, it's the Satan. It's unbelievable, childish, mamish, like children. Another example is, it represents the success of Klal Yisrael. This, you know, I'm not, you all know by now that I'm not a big gematria fan. I'm not a number person. I don't, a lot of these gematrias are a little bit, you know, they're not as real as they should be. But Yitzchak in Parsha, was it Parshas Toldos? I don't remember which Parsha it was. I think it was Parshas. He went and he planned. No, it was not Parshas Toldos. It was Parshas. I don't remember which Parsha. Maybe Chayisara. Maybe at the end of Chayisara, Yitzchak went and he dug the wells.
Wow.
And they kept on chasing after him, and they kept on filling up the wells. Finally, I don't remember. It could be it's not the wells. I don't remember what I'm saying even. Is he planted somewhere, he went and he settled down, and they planted, they developed the land, and they came back and they told him that the land has produced Mea Shadim. Rashi in that pasuk says, Mea 100 measures.
Right.
It produced 100 times more than what they expected. They planted, so you expect to receive a certain amount. You receive to return your investment $1. $1 return on your investment. It turned out that it gave back $100. 100 times more than they imagined. Mea Shar. And this represents in the Torah the ultimate success beyond your wildest expectations. Don't expect to get back on an investment more than 100 times more than you expect. Because you're not being realistic. If in the Torah, the most a person ever made back on an investment is 100 times more than what he expected. That's the most you can aim for. That represents the ultimate bracha. What is the gematria of Mea She'orim? It's exactly 666. The gematria of Mea She'orim, success by Klal Yisrael, is 666. And this was when Yitzchak was fighting with the Pelishtim. Or I'm not even sure I'm saying that correctly, but when Yitzchak represents the success of Klal Yisrael. So is it a question then that the Goyim, B'nai Esav, the jealous, the childish, oh, the number 666 in their theology is the Satan? You know, it's like Mamash, like you're playing with a child and he's losing the game and he takes the board and he turns it upside down. It's the same mentality. You take the number 13, you take it out of the buildings, you take the number 666, it becomes Mishagas. What they do more often than not, it's a response to Klal Yisrael. So we always mention it, is that the chapter breaks in Chumash are all mole the godosh apikorsis. And it's just shocking that here we are in Tavshin Pei Beis, and it can't budge. Cannot get rid of the Goyish Shah. They're here to stay. The non-Jewish Christian chapter breaks are here to stay. Even though there was an attempt, there was a very powerful attempt, I don't know how many years ago, maybe it was 100 years ago, to create new Jewish chapter breaks, Lefi Chazal, in order to make it, obviously we have to make it easy to, you know, to chapter and verse. So why are we still using the system of the Christians? And when you look at where they broke up the chapters, it's unbelievable. It's unreal. It's like you can sometimes more than that, you can see how they're looking at the Bible, the Old Testament, as reference to their God, and how they're trying to corrupt how you break up. They stop a pasuk before, pasuk after. In this certain section, you clearly see, if you know, understand their theology, you clearly see what they're trying to do. And we can't shake it. It's it. You go open up any sefer, art scroll. There's no way you can get rid of it. We always like to say that was the Harpam, but the Tehillim, the only book in all of Tanakh that is pure, that does not have their imprint, is Sefer Tehillim. Psalms. Psalms is the only thing that does not. The chapter breaks are Lefi Chazal. the child, unless you know the 140, the 147, that's a little bit different one. But even that, but basically, how many chapters are there in Tehillim? Are there 50? Are there 147? But yet, these are mizmorim that were composed by David, composed by other individuals that were collected in this book, and the chapter breaks are lefi chazal. That's an amazing thing. It's pure. It has not been infiltrated. There's been no infiltration of the sacredness of Sefer Tehillim. Okay, now with that in mind, the reason why I went on that tangent was because I couldn't control myself, because it says, what's the Yitel Lecha? It says here, I think there's definitely a Jewish, even though I'm saying the Mefarshim here. Over here we are discussing the Mish'alos from Becha, the Hisanaga al Hashem, and what were the brachas? What is the ultimate, the Hisanaga al Hashem? It's to go back to the Mesorah. And the one that gave us the Mesorah was Yitzchak. Abraham gave to Yitzchak. Yitzchak passed on the Mesorah to Yaakov. And with what words did Yitzchak open up by transferring the Mesorah to the next generation? The Yiten Lecha Ho Elokim Mital Hashamayim U'Mishmanei Haaretz. It's not an accident that when it says here the Mish'alos Libecha and the Hisanag Al Hashem, that these two expressions sandwich the Yiten Lecha. Because the ultimate satisfaction a Jew has in life in this world is to be able to connect back to his Mesorah. It's not to cut off, to sever, to have nothing to do with your parents, your grandparents, and your legacy. The greatest, the Hisanag Al Hashem, and the item which we are mispalel of Achash Sha'alti Mi'ez Hashem Oysavakesh, Shivti Reis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, not to be machadish, not to make a Torah Chadasha, but to understand, appreciate, and connect to the Mesorah of the Ovois, and that principle is captured with the code words, with the metaphor of V'yiten Lecha, because those are the words that Yitzchak said, gave. He began the brachas and Parshas Tolis in the sixth Aliyah, opening with the letter Vav. V'yiten Lecha Ho Elokim Yital Hashamayim. Okay, that's a very chashuv Aliyah. I think that that's why the Rebbes get shishi. See, this is crumb. You know, it's the Rebbes want to get the Yidel Lecha Elokim. They want that Aliyah. They want that Aliyah. But what's the problem? You know, you're too embarrassed to say. So you know, we'll get it in the cover of darkness. Every Shabbos you get shishi. If you get shishi every Shabbos, you know. So then, like, you know, you take away from the supper. You don't. People don't even realize. Oh, the Rebbe gets the Yitem. Because if the Rebbe would get shishi every Shabbos, and then it would come Parashas Tolos, there'll be fighting. There'll be war. A war would break out in Shul. Who gets shishi? Who gets the Aliyah, the Yiten Lecha? Who gets the Aliyah? The Rebbe gets Shlishi.
Also, just make a longer sheni till it got to
that. Yeah, long, they do that a lot, right? The Rebbe said, today they don't do that anymore.
Also,
today, that's
all.
Yeah.
See other such customs in there, like the sixth Hakafa is distinct and special.
Okay, so the weird, I mean, you'll.
The Ushbizin, and they
I'm explaining nothing. Right. The truth is, there's a whole Torah to this. You know, the Ushbizin, there's a whole Gemara, what's the most Chashav Aliyah. I always tell you that joke with the Chavetz Chaim. There were two people in the room, they were fighting, cats and dogs. What is the most Chashav Aliyah? Is it Shishi or Shlishi? You know, by the Litvish Olam, the most Chashav is Shlishi. You give a Rosh Shiva, Shlishi. And then, by the Chassidish Welt, the most Chashav Aliyah is Shishi. So we have a Rebbe and a Rosh Hashiva. Peace, Shalom al Yisrael. You give the Rosh Hashiva Shlishi, and you give the Rebbe Shishi. And what about the Chacham? The Sephardi Chacham? Matthew. He knows how to read. That was nasty, right? That was very nasty. We give the Sarish and the Chacham, you give Matthew. But so what they are, we won't spend time on this. I don't remember anything. We went through the whole matter what the Makairis as to what is more chashuv. All of the Makairis. So there was once two people fighting in shul, And then they're fighting and fighting and fighting. Finally, one person walks in, hears them fighting, and he gives a clap on the table. He gives such a zest, the whole shul shook. I'm putting an end to this fight once and for all. I know as a fact, eyewitness account, that the Chofetz Chaim, every Shabbos, took or received shlishi. There's no one greater than the Chofetz Chaim. He got shlishi every Shabbos. I know this as a fact, and that puts an end to this discussion. Shlishi is more chashev. The debate is over. Then someone then says, excuse me, sir, the Chofetz Chaim was a kohen. He didn't get shlishi, he didn't get shushi. He got kohen. So the next time someone tells you, I know as a fact, I'm an eyewitness account, you wish. Next time someone tells you, I know, it means they know nothing. Exactly. They know nothing, exactly. Okay, so we have this very, very beautiful passage. We said, Al Hashem, that you shall take delight, Al Hashem, v'yitem lecha, may grant you, mish'alois libecha, and if you want to go take a look further in this drush, the word v'yitem lecha really refers to gashmis, the brachis. The brachis of v'yitem lecha are pretty much brachis of gashmis. And the brachos of mishalis libechah. You want the code word? Acha shalti me'es Hashem oisa avakesh. When David himself emphasizes something with the word avakesh, he emphasizes ruchnis of shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Look, Yavoya, the combination. The tainug of Hashem is the synthesis of gashmis. The Yitin Lecha is a symbol of Gashmis. The Yitin Lecha, basically, a Gashmis brachas. Mital Hashemayim u'mishman eretz v'roiv dogon v'sirosh. Yavducha amim v'yishtach v'lecha b'nei umim. Hevei gvir liyachecha v'yishtach v'lecha b'nei imecha o'erecha arur u'mivorechecha boruch. These are pretty much brachas Chazal say of Gashmis. And Mish'alis libecha, we're saying that was a code word for Ruchnis, Acha Shwalti Me Es Hashem Oisavake, Shiv Tu Ves Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, and the two of them are coming together. There's a synthesis, and the synthesis is encapsulated in the word V'his Anag Al El Hashem, V'his Anag, Tainug, Tainug.
It's very hard to understand it. It's difficult to understand the Ahav. I mean, Ahav. I know to love something, but this is
well, his aneg.
His aneg is
beyond ahava, delight. You're saying good.
It continues before betach b'Hashem, emun, and then we talk about emunah.
And then we're not finished. Goyel al Hashem. Then there's goyel. There's another term coming up in the next part. Let's read the psukim together. Do a few psukim because I don't want to get stuck too much here. Let's go a little further. Right. So what is that word? V'tispanek. Rashi also. Tanugim. Mefanek. Right. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. These are very deep things here. Let's take a look over here. Let's see over here. Let's do a few psukim together because we have to move a little bit. Goyel al Hashem. The word goyel is a very hard word to define in this context. The Mitzudah stuff, it says it means galgel, tzarkicha al Hashem, to roll. What does that mean exactly? To roll. Okay, let's just put it aside for one moment. We'll come back to this one. Let's read a few psukim. Goyel Hashem, galgel olav kol tzarkicha. Roll. It sounds like, you know, rely upon Hashem. Rely, you know, you pass the buck. A person's in trouble. What do you do when you're in trouble? It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. And that person says, it's not my fault. It's still like Adam, why did you eat from the Eitz Hadas?
My wife.
why did you feed? It's the snake. Snake, what did you do? What did you do, snake? It's the Yetzirah. Okay, it doesn't exactly say that in the Torah. Okay, I'm adding a little bit, embellishing a little bit too much. But that's human nature. Human nature is always pass the buck. When people are in trouble, don't blame me. It's someone else's problem. So likewise, Hashem is saying, that's right, pass everything over to me. When you got a problem, so what are you going to do? So ultimately, just keep on, okay, we're going to do this, Ultimately, you know what? You throw your hands up and you say, you know what? Hashem, you got to take care of this. I tried my hardest. I have a problem. I did the hishtadlus. I did this. Didn't work. We did this. It didn't work. We did this. Galgel. Galgel is to roll. It's like to just keep on going. Keep on passing all the different possibilities. And at the end is, put it in Hashem's domain. Is that what it means? I'm not so sure I'm saying that's correct, but let's read a little before Hashem. Goyel al Hashem dar kecha. Roll, be megalgel upon Hashem. Again, this is also a very unusual expression. Rav Kalman mentioned al. What do you mean al Hashem? Betach be Hashem. El Hashem. What is al? Al is a very unusual. Al. What's al? Dar kecha yirei. Ubetach olav. Have faith upon him. Another expression, al is the same, olav is really the same thing as al. V'hu yaseh. Wow. And Hashem will do. Guarantee. There are no guarantees in life, except for this. V'hu yaseh, and he Hashem will, he will do, he will deliver. Pasuk vav v'ho itzicha ar tzidkecha, bring forth like light your righteousness. U'mishpatecha, your judgment, katso horom, like the afternoon, the midday sun, when the sun is in the center of the sky and there is the most, there's no shade. There's no shade during in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day when the sun is in the center, the sun's never really in the center, the sun's always in the north. No, south. The sun's in the south. What am I saying? In the south. I must be from the wrong part of the world. In the south, the sun is in the south, so there is shade because the sun is, but generally there is less shade, there's no shade from the east and the west in the middle of the day. So every single thing in this world, at least in the civilized world, the northern hemisphere, is under scrutiny. When there's shade, you're hiding. When a person is in the shade, you're avoiding the spotlight. But when there is no shade and the flashlight is shining on you, you're exposed. So katsohoraya means there's no hiding. Every single one is going to be exposed. The mishpat is clear as day. Okay, so over here, as you notice, they're over here, these same exact words we had before. There's a theme going on. And it's not this mizmar. It was the previous mizmar. The previous mizmar was the one that dwelt upon the difference between the beginning of mizmar and mizmar lamidvav. We had the same tzidkascha kahare el mishpatecha tohoim rabo. And there we spent a lot of time going through the difference between the word tzidkascha and the word mishpatecha. Tzedek is tzedakah, lefnim mishur sadin, mishpat is law, it's midas hadin. Or we said tzidkascha represents bein adam lamokoyim, and mishpatecha is bein adam lachaveroi. So again here, David over here is using the same exact two terms, bring forth ka'or, like light, tzidkecha, u'mishpatecha katsoho royim, doim la'Hashem v'hischoyle lo. Now this is a very beautiful pasuk. And this means, be patient. Doi means, vayidoim aharon. Aaron was silent. It means, this is something which in Golus is, it's very, very difficult, that things are not fair. Ze lo fair. Life is not fair.
So, are we talking here about the far future?
I don't know. It's subject to interpretation. It's referring about, it refers to the present. There are a lot of things that happen in this world that are not fair. And what is our response?
We don't usually get that kind of clarity
in our lifetime.
That is suggested here.
Correct. So this refers to the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael in reference to Yimot HaMashiach. Doim LaHashem. Have patience. Be quiet. LaHashem V'hischoyle. Now the word V'hischoyle literally means wait. Be patient. Be quiet and wait. Chazal are going to darshan v'hischoyle loshon of chalolim. Cholol. Chol means the slain. You be quiet. Hashem will fight your battles. Hashem will pile up your enemies in front of you, a collection of dead bodies.
all of your enemies are just going to be piled up in front of you. And that did not work for Klal Yisrael in the last 1,953 years. Okay? Unfortunately, many people, untold number of millions of people have perished, and our enemies live long, happy, healthy lives with no accountability. So, or you're going to say that, just you know, be quiet. And the Nazis and these and all these Mishugoyim, go through the whole history, they'll all be piled up, chololim, dead bodies. It doesn't seem like it happened in our history. Right, it doesn't always work. So obviously you have to understand that it refers to Yimos HaMashiach, but the simul Peshut Shel Mikra means...
You have to be emuna.
The Hischoilel will just right now, this moment in me, will say just be patient. Loi tu Hashem, kamo, even though the trug, and the trouble over here is very different. How you break up the words, the word Hischoilel, lo. Chazal always put the break after the word loy. And here the Ta'amei HaMikra seem to indicate that we should put the word lo al tischar together. In any event, al tischar, do not compete. We had this before. Do not compete. Bimatzliach darkoi. Do not compete, or we had the two perushim. Either means do not imitate. We had basically two perushim. Do not imitate the wicked, or do not try to take them to justice. Don't think you're going to win when you fight with the wicked. The wicked, they always win. Unfortunately, in Golos, the wicked, it's Zman Shehasho Misachek Esloi. The hour is smiling upon them. They're the winners. Al Tiskar Bamatzliach Darko, do not imitate them, or do not try to compete with them, to crush them totally. You have to protect yourself, of course. You have to take them to justice. You have to take them, hold them accountable the best that you can. But don't have expectations that you're gonna clobber them, because unfortunately, we live in a very dark world. Be'ish, regarding who is the matzliach, it's be'ish, oisem mizimois, the man that carries out his evil plots. There's a mizimois, a zima, evil plots, and then there are people that are oisem. They actually implement their evil plots. They've always been crazy people in this world, from time immemorial, who have the craziest ideas about what happened in this world. And unfortunately,
it's happening now.
Unfortunately, when do these people have the ability, when there's chaos, when there's, they look for opportunities. And when the opportunity presents itself, because Rahman al-Islam, the world is vulnerable, then these Mishugayim who have been around from time immemorial, now's their chance. They're always looking to exploit vulnerabilities. So when things are good, you know, so what could they do? They can have all the plans they want. They can. Rabos nachashav es blevish. But you can't do anything because the world's not going to tolerate crazy Mishugasim. But Rahman al-Islam, when the world is in a matzev of being vulnerable, it allows these Mishugayim, gives them a platform to present and even sometimes to implement crazy things. So the Mizimois have always been around. Unfortunately, there are times, there are tekuvos with, there are people who are oise Mizimois. They actually get a chance to carry out their Mizimois. Okay, now let's go over here, the Mitzvah is David. The Mitzvah is back to Pasuk David. V'hi sanag al Hashem. You shall take delight in Hashem. Tie me'unog be'safnukim. You shall take delight in a safnugim, delicacies. The delicacies, al mishenes Hashem, take delight in the delicacies, al. He adds here some words which is trying to make sense out of this word, al, upon the support of Hashem. So I have a comment, the Mitzvah is trying to fataych. The word al in this context means the reliance, to enjoy yourself with delicacies as you rely, you put your faith. The mishenes means to rely, to lean your weight, like a staff, a stick, a staff. You lean your weight on the staff. A mishenes, al mishenes Hashem. Al mishenes on a stick. You lean your weight on the stick. V'hu yiten l'cha ma'as she'yish alibach, he will grant you what you desire. It's an elomar yaspik l'cha machserecha, he will provide you what you're lacking. Af bidvar ha'taf nukim. What does that mean? What am I lack? I have everything. I have a car. No. What you're lacking is the car you have is a Chevy. Don't you want a Tesla? You're lacking in the tanugim. Strange, right? You're lacking in the tanugim. That's what it says here. Af even bidvar hatafnukim. Okay, that's not what they teach you in the Musa Svarim. In all of the Musa Svarim, they teach you less is more. Mar benachasim, mar bedaiga. Who needs this stuff? Be happy. Mistapik b'muat. What do you need all these problems for? Be happy with less. Okay, I don't know what this means. This is very sublime what this means over here. Hard to understand in our world. Goyel al Hashem, galgel tzarkicha al Hashem. Rely. It sounds like a very intense form of reliance. Uvitach Allah, have faith in him, b'huya set tzarkicha. Pasuk Vav, v'yitzid tzidkecha, yeroeh cho'or, it will be seen like light, ki tekabel gemul, you will receive reward. You will receive your reward, u'mishpatecha mas shehalachta b'derech mishpat, yeroeh, it will be seen, katso harayim, it will be seen. That's a tremendous time that a person gets to see the midah keneged midah of Hashem, even by himself. He gets to see that everything good that he did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him back. Doim la Hashem, kavei la Hashem, he types the word doim to mean kavei. Doim is, okay, yearn to Hashem, okay, v'soichilo hope, v'lech b'timus, v'al tisarev im harasha, he learns l'shitasai, the mitzudah stuff is going back to the beginning of the mizmah, the word that he learns over the word tischar means do not imitate, do not mingle amongst the wicked people to be like them. Hamatzliach of ish ha'isem machashev esresha le'esoif hoin, to add wealth to people, the wicked people who do things in order to increase their wealth, do not associate with them. And again, he explained the beginning of the mizmar to imitate them. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk. Hope. Beautiful. Oichila lakel. Oichila means to hope, to put your hope in Hashem. That's a sacred nusach. The sacred nusach. I once heard a very good, maybe his name is Beer from Yeshiva University. He
had music.
Music, so I think it was.
Beer.
Sorry? So he's the head of the department. So he gave fascinating lectures. They're available. If you go to yutorah.org and you type in, Chazonis, Bell School of Jewish Music, there are lectures. The lectures are just unbelievable. Incredible, incredible chachma. Nusach HaTfilah, V'yamim Noiram, incredible stuff. Blow your mind. No, I'm not talking about the melody. I'm talking about shiurim, to understand concepts about the Nusach HaTfilah, general concepts, yesoidos, foundational principles in being a shliach tzibor, in nusach, the whole history. And one of the things he spoke about, if I'm not mistaken, is there are certain parts of davening that are sacred. And even though we live in a very modern world, and in this world everyone is trying, very innovative to do things to inject new spirit into the yamim noraim. And today in every shul today they sing. Even in every yeshiva, it's probably unheard of today, besides maybe you can count them on your fingers, the yeshivas today that still do not sing at all, who daven pure nusach, probably mere yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they still daven pure nusach. No singing, nothing, not even a single melody. When I was a little kid, first time I davened in Chaim Berlin, kimat nothing, kimat, pure nusach. Now, it's mamish, like I tell you, a concert. I mean, not a concert, like, a bad concert. It's like it was mamish a concert. I don't know how to say it. It's, they would never sing, like I think one of the last things, the last barrier they broke is Ein Kitzvah. Even after they embellished Ein Kitzvah, no, Now in Kitzvah they sing also, like everyone else does, the Majlis of March, who doesn't do that anymore, everything. So he was talking about this concept, about going and embellishing the davening with new melodies, and he said, but you know, watch out, there are certain things that are sacred. Don't you dare change the traditional melody. For example, Oleinu, no Shliach Tzibur in his right mind, would start singing a new modern tune to Oleinu. You gotta be out of your mind, right? Who knows? Avos, he was warning Avos, don't you dare. Avos, Kodesh Kodashim, you don't you dare. He went through certain parts of davening, which he really, you know, he really felt the whole davening. It's a harpa, shanda of harpa, to go what has become today, where people, you know, the people embellish davening, and they've totally taken away nusach and turned it into a concert. But there are certain things don't you dare. Certain red lines you don't cross. And if I'm not mistaken, he said oichila. Oichila, do not. That is sacred. The nusach of oichila. If I'm not mistaken, I think he said, so why am I telling you this? Because first of all, you have Kalman over here mentioned Echila, this Cholel. And what's very interesting is that recently, within the last, very recently, I don't know if it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, there was someone that has composed a Nusach for Echila that is just spectacular.
It's a new one.
A new one, a very...
People are against it.
And it became very controversial. And the person who composed it was very careful to compose it with every single word, not just as a melody that you say on play on a tape, as mamish, and it's unbelievable. It's really, really unbelievable.
It's nice.
It's really, really nice. And many Balei Tefila, and even the Hamish places, they sing it. They do it. They don't do the classic. They don't do the classic. And like, wait a minute, you're crossing a red line here. No matter how nice it is, Oichila is Oichila. There's a traditional melody. Oichila lokel. Is that the way it goes? Something like that? There's a certain traditional, and no matter how beautiful something is, like the same way no one would come along today and start doing Oleinu differently, no one would come along today and start doing Avos differently, Oichila, it's a why? Because Oichila is where the Shliach Tzibur, you understand the Nusach, you appreciate, Oichila is where the Shliach Tzibur begins to basically daven. I mean, there's Avos, you know, it's a long way until you get to Oichila. But that's the Avoida of Malchios, Zichroinos, and Shofos. It's a very intense moment. It's a sacred moment. And that's, and a person is going to change the nusach for Oichila, that's a revelation that there is an insensitivity to, you don't understand how the whole, you don't understand what's going on over here. You don't understand the Seder Tefila. As they kach, I mean, this is very frightening to me. Someone told me that when he davens, not only did they change Oichila to the new melody, which you should know is just unbelievable. It's a matter of taste. But this beautiful melody, you hear it, it's just unbelievable. You have to hear it a couple of times to sing in. But he says, they give it to a child to sing. Wow. So they do that. They are choirs, they're a child. But I in my head, I was hearing Rabbi Dr. Beer from the Bell's School of Music, I think it was him, and all the red lights went off, all the red sirens went off in my head. What? Not only did you change the melody, you also don't even say it? There are parts of that, you have to say, like, Heyeyim Pithiyoy Shluchay Amcha Beis Yisrael. So Nusach Ashkenaz, I can't tell you everywhere, but that's accepted that the Shliach Tzibur today recites it. By Nusach Svard, and in certain circles, the Shliach does not recite it. The Shliach Tzibur, someplace he sits down. He sits down by the Rebbe's, and someone else, that was by design, the Tzibur is supposed to pray for the success of the Shliach Tzibur. The whole section that you say before that you say before Oichila, who's supposed to say that? So if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, of course the Shliach Tzibur says that. You got to be out of your mind. Okay, that's what we're all used to. But you just know that's not so simple. In many circles in Klal Yisrael, no, it was never meant to be recited by the Shliach Tzibur. It was meant to be recited by the Tzibur or by another representative of the Tzibur to pray on behalf of the success of the Shliach Tzibur. So therefore, because of that leniency, some kihilois have gone so far to have children, to bring in choirs, to embellish the davening, to have a choir sing that section. You know, it will create a whole, you know, wake up the people, do something a little bit different. All right, fine, that's very nice. Who's to say? Who might have? But Eichila, you don't. Eichila, you don't play around with Eichila. That little section is in a category by itself. We're dwelling upon this because over here it's Elul. It's Elul. Doim la Hashem. We have to have faith in Hashem. Hischelel. Eichila. We're coming to that Eichila. We're going to say 3 times, 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, one day, Yom Kippur. Eichila. That is the beginning of the Musaf, where the Shliach Tzibur begins the Avodah, whatever the Avodah is. On Rosh Hashanah, there's the Avodah of Malchus, Zichronis, and Shofaris. And Yom Kippur, the Avodah is the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol, going into the Kodesh HaKodashim, going into the Dam, Apar, the Masorah, the Keteris, the Hischelel Loi. Lo yifchoid. There are two flutes. You have to pay the husband two flutes. This is Russian Ram, Hischelel. Oh, you sing over here, Hischelel, that's the Khalil. You want to say that you sing a Kabbalistic reason why it used to be the tradition by a funeral, they play the flute. The Gemara says that a husband has an obligation that if his wife dies, part of the Tanai Ksuba, he has to pay for an elaborate funeral. Generally, not just, you know, the basics. They have to have a professional eulogizer. You got to bring in a professional to eulogize the person, and you have to pay for two professional flute players. Why the flute? Why not the guitar? Have a kumzitz. If they have a kumzitz on Tisha B'Av today, so they have a kumzitz on Tisha B'Av, so why can't they have a guitar? Unfortunately, they do this already also at my funerals. Okay, but a flute? Why is a flute the most appropriate musical instrument to be played by a funeral? Today it's unheard of. Who knows today? A lot of strange things that go on today. But in time of Chazal, they actually had flutes being played at a funeral. They used to bury the dead in very expensive clothing, very elaborate clothing. You have to take out a second mortgage for a funeral. A funeral was more elaborate than a wedding. Toiv l'leches al beis evel, mileches al beis mishteh. That means you have to pay more money for the funeral than you pay for the wedding. Okay, people make a wedding of $100,000, you have to pay at least $200,000 for a funeral. It was a very, very big deal. And it got so outrageous, people just abandoned the dead and they ran away. They couldn't afford. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Ad kan takonas. He made takona funerals. You see, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? I thought it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Was it someone else? I don't remember. But isn't it amazing today, every so often here in the news, takana wedding, too expensive. Only no flowers on the men's side. No usha iskinu, only a one-man band. And there's a cap on the most, 400 people the most. Okay, takana wedding. You know, there are today pretty much in Lakewood, all the weddings are pretty much the same today in Lakewood, even the very wealthy, pretty much the same one-man band. I mean, in Lakewood, I'm not telling you it goes on elsewhere. You know, and the beautiful weddings. I mean, the Lechosa Dover, they even have parking. You can even find a place to park. Pretty good, right? That's like unbelievable. How much should you pay for that? So they make, you know, takana weddings. So, you know, it doesn't really work. The Olam doesn't really want it. Some do, some don't. But in the ancient times, it was funerals were really out of hand. It really got carried away. And people, they buried the dead in these exquisite clothing, and who knows what they did. And along came Chachamim, Takana funeral. Funerals. Takana funerals. Everyone's the same. Tachrichin, the cheapest, cheapest material possible. None of this, none of that.
But they still jack up the price.
The funeral homes, it's terrible, goes on. Okay, a mafia business.
I had an incident just now in Florida, cemetery. The very first vehicle was $12,000.
$12,000?
$12,000.
A Jewish funeral.
A Jewish cemetery, yes. But they did,
for the blood?
It was from whatever you wanted, any year. We didn't think about that anyway. But all right, I'm just saying. The price is $12,000.
It's a very big problem. It's a very big problem. But the Chazal already saw this, and they made takanas. So, okay, let's go vital. Let's read Rashi. I want to put some Rashi over here. Rashi pasuk dalid. Rashi pasuk dalid. His anag al Hashem. His aneg b'saf nukim. Delight yourself with b'saf nukim with delicacies. Al on. Al mishantoy, on your staff, okay. Al mishantoy shel lakosher. So over here, if you notice over here, it appears that there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says the mishenes. I'm Gamliel. Okay, Gamliel was masaking. Tachrichen ad hayom hazeh. The meaning klal yishol is ad hayom hazeh to follow the takanas of Rabbi Gamliel. The simplest. Tachrichim and the whatever, everyone knows whatever. I'm not talking about this. Now Rashi over here, there appears to be over here a machlokes Rashi and the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah says al mishantai means al mishenes Hashem. Al mishantai. Okay. Shel HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, I made a mistake. It's the same thing. Okay, it's the same idea. You're relying upon Al Mishanta, the support Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Gimel. Gol Al Hashem Darkecha, Galgel Olav Kol Tzirochecha. Okay, you rely upon Hashem. That's an expressive way of describing our faith in Hashem. Doim La Hashem Hamtein. So is this the same as what it says, what it says in Rashi, in the Mitzudos? The Mitzudos says Kaveh. Kaveh means to yearn. Kaveh Al Hashem, Chazak V'yami Tzlibecha. Hamtein is patience, wait. Hamtein. There are many, many words. Same idea. They're cousins, but they're not exactly the same word. There are many words in Hebrew that express the idea of patience. There is afal pi sheyismamea vayhiki boishesh moishe lovai. What is the word boishesh? He was late. Some of the English translations say he was late. Is that really correct? He was late or Moshe delayed? How do you tie short? I forgot the exact pasuk. Loredes, Leret. Moshe was late in this descending from Shemayim to bring down the luchos. How do you precisely translate the word boshesh? Late? Moshe was late. That's a drush. That's already the chazal. That boshesh. The time has come and he's not here. So why isn't he here? Why? Because he was negligent. When you say the word late, it almost today in English, it has almost a connotation of peshia. You're negligent. Because if you really cared about people's time, you really were machshev of someone's time, you wouldn't be late. You wouldn't be late. You would make sure you would come an hour early, not to be late. In English, when we use the word late, you cannot deny the fact that there's a tinge, there's a connotation of negligence. On the part of the person who is late. What do you want from me? There's a snowstorm. There's a snowstorm. It's not my fault. Okay, you're right. English doesn't really. But the word late generally in our minds carries with it. If you really wanted to be here on time, you would have been here on time.
What other word could he have used?
He was delayed. He was delayed. Listen, English, you can't bring a raya from English. You know, all the different words and how they're used now, vernacular in the context.
He's
stuck in. Yeah.
And then everyone
everybody was waiting for
the Where is he?
Vayachilu ad bosh.
Ad bosh. So there, there's a very good makar to see how it's used there to try to define the word with precision. In Hebrew, it's amazing. There are many, many words that are used to express the idea of the time how has already come. Mashiach, afal pi sheyisma mea. What does that mean? Why don't we go say that the Mashiach is bosh? What does it mean? Sheyisma mea. Achake loy. We know we learned in the afternoon the Ani Mamins, and we learned how the Rambam. It's interesting. There were different words that were used in analyzing that Ani Mamin in describing lateness. We have here the word dome. Dome means weight or and in the Mitzvah stuff. It said what do you say? He said the word dome means kavei. Is it all depends from whose perspective.
Exactly.
Whose perspective? The perspective of the observer, the perspective of the person who is in need, the perspective of the subject who is the one that is late, from whose perspective are we describing being late? There are many, many different words. Here Rashi says, Doim hamtein lishu also. We are focusing from our perspective, and here he says, wait, hamtein, be patient. Lishu also, kimo, im koyomru, eleinu, doimu, diyohoinasan. It says there, wait. If so, they will say to us, "Domu wait." Referring there, I think to the beginning when Shaul, that's Your Highness. I'm sorry, my single. That's a different story. I'm getting mixed up. On it says that the word "domu" means to wait. Okay. Umenachem chibur b'loshon demama. Menachem says it means demama means silence. Kamo vayidaim arayin. V'gam kein pasar toiv yochil v'dumam. He proves it. It says there the word. Toiv, it is good, v'yachil, v'dumam. The fact that the word, during that context, it means to be silent. To wait, yachil means to yearn, to wait quietly, excellent, to wait quietly. V'dunash, moideloi, dunash, agrees to menachem. Okay, we have the three musketeers. Chashom, to say that. Rashi, menachem, and dunash. These three, I actually have to review this, had a fantastic write-up. On these three, Dunash ben Livrot. Livrot.
Is there a
his name on it, Livrot. Dunash ben Livrot, these are the three. Dunash ben Livrot, Rashi, there were three grammarians in this time. Rashi, Menachem, Dunash. I have a really great write-up over here, one that's from, I came across, I have to review what it says over there. And it's not all that common that you have all three appearing together in one Rashi. Rashi quotes them all, and Rashi says it means hamtein, it means to wait. Menachem and Dunash disagree, it means silence. Now, obviously, there's a relationship between these two interpretations, because when you're silent, in essence, you're waiting, but there's a different focus. Silence is more of a connotation of acceptance. I accept. I don't have a choice. I'm a kabel. I accept the situation for what it is. When you say wait, I don't accept. I don't accept this. I'm in denial. And I want it I want things to be different. I will just wait it out. Now over here we are, he's not here, he doesn't come that often. Wilbur. Oh, what's his first name? Dennis. Dennis Wilbur is a professional psychologist. And he told me that basically these two, when a Rachman and a person goes through something very difficult in life, he told me in science, there's a cycle and it goes through the mind. The first thing is shock. I don't know if I'm saying correctly what he told me. Shock, denial, and then acceptance. It can take 20, it can take 30 years to reach the third madrig of acceptance. How long, a person's mind, the way the mind works, I don't know if I'm saying what I'm saying is correct, that it's natural. Believe in the science. The science tells us that when a person is presented with a challenging event in life, the first thing is shock. There's a dulling of the senses. You're just in shock. You're not here. Your mind is just not, you're not your zone to talk to. Then there is denial. When the person begins, the shock wears off. Denial. I don't believe it. He's not dead. Just bang on him. He'll wake up. He's not dead. And then there is acceptance. And again, these three, these, what? Well, this process can take a whole lifetime.
I mean, between the denial and the acceptance, mourning or anger or something.
Well, it's all part of the process. So again, I don't know, this, I'm not a psychologist, and there are people who have devoted their multiple lifetimes to understand these, how the mind works, and this process can take a lifetime. More than, some people don't never finish. They never get past the shock. Okay? But there's, I guess that's what psychologists do. They try to accelerate the process. If a person gets stuck, he can be in a state of shock his whole life. Some get past the shock, but they don't get past the denial. And some people, they never learn to accept. So a psychologist, I guess, the goal of a psychologist, I guess, I'm making these grand assumptions, I don't know what I'm talking about, is to push a person, assist a person to go through this cycle in a healthy way so he can get on with his life. So it's interesting over here, Rashi and Menachem, they're just dealing with different parts of the process. Mm-hmm. And they're also saying something different, and that is yearning. Mm-hmm. A yearning is change. Now, in Judaism, let's deal, Rachman of the Son, with death. Okay, death. So with death. So death, there's shock. No one's denying the fact that there's shock. Who never experienced shock? And then there is denial. That's true. You have mamish nightmares. Did it really happen? You wake up in the morning, this really? Maybe it was just a dream. There's mamish denial. I hope no one ever felt that. I felt that in certain, I understand what that means. It's mamish denial. And then there's acceptance. But I'm asking you, as from a Jewish perspective, and dealing with specifically with death, is there a hope for change? So you'll say Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now what does that mean exactly? You know, if you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, you're out. Ani Mamin. That's what we learned in the afternoon. That's the last Ani Mamin. And the Rambam, wow, you know, I was really, really shocked how far the Rambam, was it the Rambam? I don't remember. One of the first that we learned is that how far he goes in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Like, this is the real deal. Yeah, you know, Tchiyas HaMeisim is so out of the world of reality. You know, believing in Hashem, L'chor, is easier than believing in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because you deal with Hashem the whole day. You see the Yad Hashem. I mean, your neshama. Tchiyas HaMeisim is a very hard concept. That when the neshama goes back, it's going to come back again to this world and be resurrected. It's a very difficult concept. And yet I think one of the greatest, from the animams, the Mefarshim, they really dwell. They come down very, very hard on the emunah a person has to have an ani mamin. Many people say, listen, ani mamin, what do I know? It's not nogemi. What's a nogemi? Ani mamin with Tchiyas HaMeisim, this is very sublime, out of my above my pay grade. Avada, ani mamin, Tchiyas HaMeisim. But don't I don't want to dwell on it because it's going to make me meshuggah. If I start thinking too much about ani mamin, I'm going to go out of my mind. About Tchiyas HaMeisim. If I think about Hashem the whole day, that would do a lot of good for me. That would help me. That would be a very good thing, to think about Hashem the whole day. I'm not afraid of doing that. That would actually make life a lot easier for me. But when I start thinking about Tchiyas HaMeisim, you know, I don't know, it can shake you up a lot. But no, that's one of the basic principles of faith, Ani Mamin. So my question to you is, when a person deals with death, there is certainly a moment of shock. There's a moment of denial. There has to be acceptance. And is there something called anticipation for change, for reversal? The person is coming back. When is he coming? He's coming. Tchiyas HaMeisim. He's coming. This Tchiyas HaMeisim. So when you say the expression here, v'his choylelo, so doim la Hashem, hamtein, according to Rashi, means wait. Don't give up. Change is coming. Just because he's dead, he's going to wake up. Wait. Or does doi mean accept? Menachem chibroi, like vayidoim aroin. Accept. The concept of waiting for him to come out of the grave, it's not realistic in a practical sense. It's one of the animamins. No one's denying. Ultimately, there will be Tchiyas HaMesim.
Why is waiting for reversal and not just change? Change does not have to mean reversal.
I don't necessarily mean reversal. It means there's going to be a change. When a person is dead, okay, I don't mean, so change means he'll come back to life. Doesn't mean reversal. Okay. What, no?
No. Change could mean things will change. Things will get,
If a person is dead, what does it mean change? You miss a person. There's a person who's dead. You miss him. You want him back. I want to ask him something. I want to go tell him who won the election. What? That's not satisfying for me. I want this person. This is my friend. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. When Reish Lakish died, what happened to Rabbi Yochanan? He lost his mind. They went, they brought him every day a new chavrusa. They brought him a new chavrusa. No, this is not what I want. Reish Lakish.
You want the reversal, not change, not another Rosh Hashiva that can help him.
So every single person in their life, there is an element of something that you want reversal. You want, nothing is going to satisfy you unless you have back what you wanted before. It's a reality. No. So I'm questioning, let's deal specifically with death. In death, there's shock, there is acceptance, there is
denial,
then there is acceptance. Is there a healthy expectation that an Orthodox Jew should have dealing with death of a yearning for Tchiyas HaMesim on a practical sense? Is there such a thing? I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, you see when they buy a Leviathan, when they go and they eulogize people, they say, oh, he's going to come back to Tchiyas HaMesim, Tchiyas HaMesim, Tchiyas HaMesim. And the people in the audience who are not in that state of mourning, and they're saying, oh, really? Yeah, it's coming back. Tchiyas HaMesim. Yeah, when Mashiach will come. When Mashiach will come, and the world, you know, the world needs big time salvation. Yeah. But the way the person is saying, the way you hear some people who are in a very deep state of mourning, yearning for the person's coming back, is that a practical approach? Or they're just still in denial? Is that part of their denial? The nafkamin is
they come back down during the weddings. They come back in your.
All right, so you're finessing it. The point is, over here we have the word doim lashem. We have here. I wanted to tie this into the machlokes between Rashi and the Mizudis. There's a very deep machlokes here between these two opinions. Doim lashem. Rashi says it means hamtein lishu also. Change is coming. Now, he's not talking about here death. He's talking about whatever the situation is. Menachem says, change, you wish change. Olam kiminhagoy nohag. You really think change is going to come? 2022, there's going to be a new election, and you think things are going to start getting, there's going to be a change? Yeah, you could hope all you want. You can hope all you want. Be realistic. More of the same.
They say hope is not a plan.
More of the same. Just accept this is the new reality. I mean, that's a defeatist attitude. Right? That's not good either. Okay, so, I mean, he says, Menachem says, vayidoim. Vayidoim means accept. He accepted. He was mekabel. It's a fundamental machlokes. How you touch the word, doim lahashem. You have a person over here, he's in a matziv, and David is saying, doim lahashem. Does it mean, just hold on there. Wait a couple of months. Things are going to get a lot better. Or, doim, be mekabel. Be mekabel the mitzias. This is what it is. Be happy, you have to be mekabel. Big machlokes. Okay, last Rashi out of time. His chalel lo, teicheles is hope. Al, okay, his chalel is hope. Okay, this doim lashem. Either wait, be patient, or accept. His chalel lo, hope. That's the greatest, the most important ingredient of life. Everyone will tell you, hope. It's a whole drush in and of itself, hope. Loshon techeles, hope. Al tischar, lemor, arshia, kimoisoi the atzliach kimoisoi. Rashi lishitosoi. Let me imitate the wicked and behave exactly the way they behave. Again, that's only what Rashi says. Everyone else on the page, not everyone else, but at least we learned in Chazal, the Mamori Chazal strongly disagree with that interpretation, and it means don't attack them. Don't think you're going to win. They're going to blow you out of the water. The wicked people...
The second time he says it.
Right. The beginning and towards the end.
Here it says,
oh, you
say,
they're successful in their wickedness. In their wickedness. So Rashi is saying, don't imitate them. Don't try to be from that chevra. It's not going to end well. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a short break. And then we're going to learn a little bit more on Trumois and Maestrois. After, it appears again in this week's parasha.